This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Bob Holdsworth joins me every Monday afternoon to talk a little Virginia politics. He is the founder and president at VirginiaTomorrow.com. It's must reading for those who want to track Virginia politics and know what's going on. Bob, how are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm doing great, Coy. How have you been?
Very good, very good. We had a heck of a storm, but we are drying out now. Tell us about this news that the new Governor McDonald, the new governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia, is going to be doing the Republican response to Barack Obama's State of the Union address. That's big news.
You know, it's big news, though. It's becoming a little bit of an old hat for Virginians, Coy, you know, that Jim Webb got to do it, Tim Kaine got to do it. This, I think, the third Virginian in the last 5 years. But it's a great opportunity for Bob McDonald, but it's also a big opportunity because you might recall what happened last year. We had Bobby Jindal. He was being touted as sort of the new Republican Obama.
He bombed.
Yeah, and people were waiting for Jindal to, you know, it was going to be almost the first debate of 2012. He bombed, and it's almost as if the national media attached a not ready for primetime post-it to Jindal's forehead and sent him back to Baton Rouge, you know, never to be heard from again, I guess. But the fact of the matter, what it shows is that while it's a great opportunity for Bob McDonald, there's also some risk involved. Republicans nationally are really looking for a new kind of figure, a new leader. McDonald really has the opportunity to on Wednesday night to elevate his national profile considerably. But if he doesn't do a good job, he'll just be seen as, you know, one more Republican governor who doesn't have that kind of national credibility. It's remarkable. He's been in office less than a week, and we're talking about this, but that's the reality of contemporary American politics today.
We're talking with Bob Holdsworth of VirginiaTomorrow.com. Bob, I will say, if the governor comes even close to some of the moments that I've seen him, whether live or on television, he will make national headlines as a rising star in the Republican Party.
Yeah.
Because he's good. He's really good at this.
I fully expect him to acquit himself well, Coy. I really do. But you never can tell how someone's going to react when they're under that kind of pressure and that kind of spotlight for the first time. He's been governor essentially a week, and all of a sudden he's going to be, you know, at the forefront of Republican politics on Wednesday night. And on Thursday, you're going to hear a lot of reviews, first in the papers, then by, you know, Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh and all the talk show hosts. And by the end of next week, Bob McDonald's either going to be a far more prominent figure than he had been just a couple of days ago, or is going to be seen as one of a set of Republican governors.
And I will say this, if he knocks the ball out of the park Wednesday night, there's going to be talking heads on Thursday that are going to be saying Bob McDonald in 2012.
You know, for some office, maybe president, maybe vice president, they're going to be speaking about him.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to tell you, and rightfully so, that it's far too soon. He's just trying to deal with the budget crisis and put down his budget amendments here in Virginia.
Yeah.
But that's the nature of American politics today, Coy, that, you know, people come on this scene and they skyrocket up and they go down quickly. That the times just telescope these days, and it's weird and it's odd, and you think it shouldn't happen, but that's the fact and the reality of political life right now. And so this turns out to be a huge moment for Bob McDonald.
We're talking with Bob Holdsworth. The website is VirginiaTomorrow.com. Bob joins us every Monday afternoon to keep us informed about what's going on in the world of Virginia politics. Bob, you wrote recently, three strikes, you must be out of office, about the bad news, 1, 2, 3, for former Governor Tim Kaine.
Yeah, this was a pretty remarkable week for Governor Kaine. He left office, and boy, did he get hit pretty hard. You know, first of all, you had, Bob McDonald revoking the request to the Justice Department that Jen Sorings be allowed to go back to Germany where he could be paroled in a couple of years. Just never quite understood why Governor Kaine thought that was an appropriate thing to do on his way out of office.
Bob, is there any reporter come forward yet with a story about what, you know, what did we want from Germany? I mean, I guess, was there somebody at the White House that wanted something from Germany?
No, I think there was far less to do with Germany and international relations than it had to do with some of the activists in the Central Virginia area, the faith-based activists, who really were asking and requesting that the governor do this. Now, I don't have a good story on this, but that's my sense, that it was the motivation was far more local. It came from a lot of the folks who are faith-based and just thought this was a humane thing to do to a person who wouldn't be near, who was sitting in Virginia jail, not very much near his family. And but other than that, I didn't quite understand it. Secondly, you had the House vote down his proposed tax increase, income tax increase, 97-0. Again, I think when he did this, he thought he was going to put Bob McDonnell in a bind because McDonnell was going to have to come up with an extra $1 billion of cuts. But this is a fairly embarrassing moment, and the question is, does McDonnell find some tangential way of weaving this into his State of the Union response on Wednesday night, noting that that's one of the differences between Democrats and Republicans, is that when there are tough times, the Democrats, as they did in his state, call for raising taxes, and the Republicans don't want to. And the final blow, of course, was that McDonnell made a very, held a press conference, made a big announcement that he's going to be opening up these rest stops, which in many ways most people, including I think most Democrats, don't ever believe should have been closed in the first place. So if you take a look at last week, you had the Soaring case, you had the rest stops, and you had the income tax rebuttal. Not a particularly good week for the head of the Democratic National Committee.
We're talking with Bob
Holdsworth.
We're
not even talking about Massachusetts yet either.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we want to talk about that. But before we leave Tim Kaine, none of these things strike me as... it just doesn't make Tim Kaine look very politically savvy. You know what I mean?
No, and that's the odd thing, that on one hand, Tim Kaine came to office as a person who was there because of his principles, not because of his political savvy. But over time as governor, one of his major accomplishments, of course, was the tremendous trajectory that the Democratic Party was on between 2004, 2005, and 2008 anyway. In Virginia, so much so that Barack Obama must have thought he was a political wizard, appointed him to be head of the Democratic National Committee. And here's this guy who's occupying that position as head of the Democratic National Committee, calling for a tax increase, asking to release a murderer to Germany, and closing the rest stops in their state. as I said, I think Tim Kaine's a wonderful person. I think he had some major successes as governor, but these three, this end game that was played in the last month or two of the administration's almost incomprehensible.
The website is virginiatomorrow.com. You can read about these and other stories in the world of Virginia politics by Bob Holdsworth. Bob, what is your take on Massachusetts? And it was interesting to see how Senator Jim Webb got involved right away before the votes were even, certified. He's in there with it.
Yeah, Webb was the first Democrat to announce that the world had changed. And my assumption was that was a larger announcement on Webb's part. I think what clearly happened here is that, once again, the Democrats found that the national environment and the national mood made it very, very difficult to win. Once again, they had a candidate like they had in, some people say, in Virginia, who really wasn't the best possible candidate. Once again, the White House and others tried to blame it only on the candidate. But the reality is that there's a national mood right now that's making it much more difficult for the Democrats to win, and that a poor Democratic candidate can lose even in Massachusetts. And by taking away the Democrats' filibuster-proof majority in the U.S. Senate, now they only have 59 seats rather than 60, it really remarkably changed the dynamic in American politics tremendously. Jim Webb came right out of the box and said that he didn't think the Senate should hold a health care vote till Scott Brown got seated, so that they wouldn't be able to once again hold a vote that with a majority that could prevent a Republican filibuster. And my sense about Jim Webb, Coy, and I could be wrong about this, is that he was making a broader statement than just about Scott Brown and health care. I think that he hasn't been all that happy with some of the administration's foreign policy. I think he supported the health care bill, though he had reservations about many of the major features of it. And I think this was a manifesto of independence that Jim Webb announced last week, that don't expect me to step on my sword many more fall on my sword many more times for the Democratic Party and the president. I'm going to start saying, and I think he's been doing this for the most part, but you might say that Jim Webb was saying that almost all the time now, I'm going to do and say what I think is right. And I think that had to be a blow to Obama and the Democrats, because I actually think that Webb's frustration with some of how the Democrats were operating goes beyond health care.
We're talking with Bob Holsworth. You wrote in a recent essay called Deja Vu All Over Again how the election in Massachusetts looks so much like the governor's recent election for governor in Virginia with, Deeds against McDonnell instead of, Coakley versus Brown.
Yeah, and what I was trying to get at is that, all the same excuses for why things happened were being, at least initially, put forward out of Washington. That it was simply Deeds' fault, and now it was simply Coakley's fault. You know, if they'd only listened to the advice of other Democrats, if they'd only taken the advice of the White House, none of this would have happened. And, Coakley was obviously a disaster as a candidate, went on vacation during part of the race, insulted the Boston Red Sox and Curt Schilling and others. Even putting all of that aside for a second, or taking all of that into account, the fact is that the national environment was different. Coakley would have won. What's happened right now is that there's become an increasing frustration with Washington. Congress's ratings are just in the tank. And I think President Obama made a major mistake early on when he decided to, in many ways, let Congress take the leadership in pushing agendas on critical issues such as health care. I think if the president had positioned himself somewhere between the Democratic leadership in Congress and the Republican Party, if he had been one step to the right, you might say, of the Democrats in Congress, he could have been a political hero. But what's happening is that increasingly the country, which likes Obama personally, is finding him ideologically and politically to be like a Congress that they're not particularly happy with right now.
It's like Clinton all over again.
Well, it really is. They've made some major mistakes, and the question is he going to be able to recover as Bill Clinton did? And my guess is that part of that's going to have to do with how the economy maneuvers or goes forward. Part of it's going to have to be with Obama's own, political recovery powers. But the sense is, I think, fairly broadly right now, that he squandered some opportunities by linking himself far too closely to Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi. Now, there are a lot of Democrats who are saying that his opportunities have been squandered because he linked himself far too closely to the banks. But my sense is that that's not the reason why the Democrats are losing these independent voters. Both Cree Deeds and Martha Coakley got beat, almost 70-30. With independent voters, and the Democrats are going to have to find some way to recapture them if they're going to do well in these 2010 congressional elections and if Obama's going to have an opportunity for re-election.
We're talking with Bob Holsworth, VirginiaTomorrow.com. Bob, what's all this about the governor, Governor McDonnell, getting out of the liquor store business, getting Virginia out of the liquor store business, privatizing the ABC?
Well, I think I don't think he's going to try to do it right away, but I think over the next year to two, Governor McDonnell is going to try to privatize the ABC stores. What he said, and I think this is a reasonable statement, is that he just doesn't believe that anyone can see the sale of Jack Daniels and other kinds of spirits as being a core service of Virginia state government. That's correct. The political difficulties are twofold or threefold. On one hand, there's a lot of people who say the system works pretty well socially right now. We don't have a lot of liquor stores with flashing signs out on the streets because you have to go to the ABC stores. You're not trying to entice people to buy more liquor than they would otherwise do. and we're not, we don't look like, as they call it, Maryland or D.C. Secondly, there's a number of people who say the liquor stores right now make a profit for the state, and what's going to happen to that profit if we privatize it? Are we actually going to be tossing away money rather than, you know, maintaining a viable working asset? But McDonald does have a mandate in the election. He has almost 60 people in the House on his side, and my sense is that he's going to come forward with a strong proposal, which is going to probably try to maintain the tax revenue out of liquor sales and also try to show how some various forms of licensing stores to sell liquor may actually build a continuing revenue stream for Virginia. He's going to have to come up with a lot of opposition. And, as you know, interestingly, Coy, over time, there's been a lot of social conservatives who haven't liked the idea of privatizing liquor stores because they think it could be an anti-family maneuver as well.
Interesting. Hey, before we let you go, you had some insights on the recent Supreme Court decision regarding corporate free speech.
Yeah, that's taking the Virginia model nationally, isn't it?
it's what we do already, isn't it?
Yeah, in Virginia, we basically have the idea that anything goes, anybody can contribute, and in fact, they can contribute as much as they want, whereas the federal government still has expenditure limits, so long as that it's disclosed. And then we've have this nonprofit, the Virginia Public Access Project, that does a very good job at disclosing it. So, you know, I have mixed feelings about this Supreme Court decision. On one hand, I wasn't particularly pleased with the reasoning that just says corporations are just like people. But on the other hand, I think McCain, Feingold, and almost every other effort to rein in political money simply creates a new set of loopholes which get wider over time and through which people interested in politics drive through truckloads of money. So my sense is that this may not be the most ethically inspiring answer to a lot of people, but the fact of the matter is that if you have a fairly open system with a lot of disclosure, at least you have transparency, and that may be better than just watching people find a new way to get around the loophole.
Bob Holsworth, the founder and president at VirginiaTomorrow.com, joins us every Monday afternoon to talk a little Virginia politics. Bob, I always enjoy it. Thanks so much and have a great week.
Same to you, Coy. Take care.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.